The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to Dining with Death. This episode is on my playlist, Dining with the Disappeared, where we talk about people who have vanished. We discuss the circumstances surrounding their disappearance, and we talk a little bit about the place they disappeared from. Because this is Dining with Death, a lot of times that place is a restaurant or a bar. I'm Stacey Lee. Let's begin.
4 and a half.
3 and a half.
3 and a half.
Okay.
So we have yours. And I'm like, now what about you? The youngest one. So you freeload. What did you used to do before you freeloaded?
Tell them your future goals. She's going to Cosmopolitan.
You're going to who?
That's not my future goal. I'm going to learn how to cut hair.
You want to learn how to cut hair? Yeah. Oh, so you were doing her hair. Oh, that was real. And wait, let's get a chance. There's a future there. Okay, that's good.
I want to be a writer, so I'm going to Cosmopolitan school.
We're probably seeing something significant here. So we're going to sign off now.
That beautiful young woman in the far right of the frame is Erin Marie Gilbert. Erin was born in May of 1971. She had been living in California, but shortly before her disappearance, she moved to Anchorage, Alaska. There, she was living with her sister and working as a nanny. As you saw in that clip, she said her ultimate goal was to become a writer, but that she also wanted to go to cosmetology school. People who knew Erin describe her as kind and confident. She loved to go running and she loved to read. Like I said, she wanted to become a writer and hoped to become a novelist. Erin was also known as very strong, both physically and emotionally. She was very athletic and very fit. She was a stable, level-headed person who knew what she wanted out of life. Erin lived in San Francisco for some time. Her sister, Stephanie, was married to a man in the Air Force, and they were stationed in Alaska. Erin wanted a change of scenery, and so her sister invited her to move in with them and lined up work for her, nannying for a family she knew. On July 1st, 1995, when Erin was just 24 years old, she went on a first date with a man named David Combs. Erin and David met a few days earlier at a bar in Anchorage called Chilkoot Charlie's. David wanted to take Erin out and she agreed to go on a date with him. They went to the Girdwood Forest Fair in Girdwood, Alaska, which is a little village south of Anchorage. David came to Stephanie's house to pick Erin up, and Stephanie remembers that her husband said to David, "Hey, take off your sunglasses." She said that she feels like her husband wanted to get a good look at him because they didn't know him. But also, you know, it's kind of a respect thing to take your sunglasses off when you enter someone's home, especially if you don't know them. Stephanie said her 4-year-old son came into the room and said, "Auntie Erin, you should bring a cell phone." But Erin said, no, she didn't want to. Cell phones were just coming into more common use in about 1995. I had a cell phone, but I would often forget that I had a cell phone. You're just so used to not communicating like that it took a little while to get used to it. Sometimes I would forget my cell phone was in my purse and the battery would go dead just because I forgot it was there. We can't even imagine that now. It's very different. David and Erin left Stephanie's house at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They were in good spirits, chatting and enjoying each other's company. They arrived at the festival and were wandering around, taking in the sights, kind of relaxing and getting to know each other. People saw Erin at about 6 o'clock at the fair's beer garden. She and David were together at the time. They were talking and having a beer, and it seemed to be going really well. Erin was wearing a black leather jacket, a black and white shirt with mountain boots, and black jeans. By all accounts, everything was normal. Nothing out of the ordinary, just two people becoming acquainted. According to David Combs, he and Erin decided to call it a night. They walked back to his car, which was parked in the parking lot of the fairgrounds. When they got there, David realized he had left the headlights of the car on and the battery was dead. David claims he told Aaron that he was going to walk to a nearby friend's house and that he would be back shortly. David says he began walking and after 2 hours realized his friend's house was not where he thought it was. He claims he went back to the car and Aaron was not there. David said he assumed Aaron had gone back inside the fair, and for some reason when he tried the car again, it turned over and he was able to start it. David let the car run for about 15 minutes to recharge the battery, and then he went back into the fairgrounds and spent the next several hours searching for Aaron. He says he looked for her until around 1 a.m., but he never found her. David said he figured Aaron was mad at him for leaving her sitting at the car for so long, and he went home. I have some issues with this, for sure. Why would he take off to his friend's house if it was 2 hours away and tell her that he was going to be right back? Why didn't he continue looking for her? Why didn't he call the police? The next morning, David called Aaron's sister and asked if she had come home. Her sister said no, and of course, this is when the alarm was raised and they knew Aaron was missing. Aaron's family was immediately upset that David had waited all night before calling to check on Aaron. Why hadn't he raised the alarm sooner? Why hadn't he checked on his date, which was, of course, the gentlemanly and considerate thing to do, considering he left her sitting alone in a parking lot for 2 hours because his car broke down? The least he could have done is check on her and make sure she made it home that night. Stephanie, Aaron's sister, along with other family members and volunteers, searched the area and the surrounding woods for hours and then days, but they found nothing. Stephanie later said that because Aaron's room was down the hall, they wouldn't have necessarily heard her come in, but when they checked the room, it was obvious Aaron had never come home. Here is a clip of Stephanie Juarez, Aaron's sister, talking about the morning she found out Aaron had vanished.
You know, he called us at 7 a.m. the next morning. I probably went to bed about 10, just thinking she was going to be home. And then we get a call, and he said, "Did she make it home?" And I was like, "What?" I mean, I just assumed she was in her room. So then I ran back upstairs, and she wasn't there. So she had never come home. And so then we had two little kids, and we put them in the car really fast, and we drove down there. And he met us down there. I don't know if he had stayed there all night. That's a question I wish I would have asked him right then. And I remember kind of getting out of the car, and then my husband took the kids just to go park at that mercantile store. And I was walking in the fair, and I went across this little bridge, just must have been right there. And then I remember I saw him, and I remember he was eating a hot dog. Like, we just instantly knew something bad happened. And I don't remember what I said to him or what he said back to me. I think I was just in shock. And then we spoke for a few minutes, and I went back and asked if the on stage, you know, they had a microphone, right, if they would ask if anybody had seen her. And somebody helped us right away at the fair. They were really nice.
Right.
And I just stood there. I mean, it was terrible. The police didn't come. We tried to call them. Nobody came. And I think we waited for about 3 days, and then we went to the news, and that's how finally we got some help from the police.
I'm sure everyone who loves Aaron has just spent thousands and thousands of hours thinking through this night and probably, you know, wishing they would have forced her to take that cell phone. After Stephanie and her family spent the day at the fairgrounds and the surrounding woods looking for Aaron, the search intensified, but not until Stephanie got really forceful. Believe it or not, Stephanie called the police and they didn't even bother to come. She called again the next day and again, no one came. For 3 days, Stephanie begged for help, and finally, her friend said, "Let's just go to the media." So they went to the local news station, and only when the news began reporting on the disappearance did they get any attention at all. But finally, the Alaska State Troopers were brought in and conducted a more extensive search. They brought in dogs who tried tracking Aaron's scent. They brought in helicopters. They interviewed witnesses and vendors at the fair. They found absolutely nothing. Aaron Marie Gilbert had disappeared off the face of the earth. The family began contacting Aaron's friends in California. They called everyone they could think of to ask them, had they seen Aaron? Have you heard from her? Do you know anything that could possibly help us? No one knew a thing. Erin was responsible. She was excited about starting cosmetology school in the fall. Her life was good. She had a bright future. There was no reason for her to disappear. Mountain rescue groups began volunteering to search more intensely and also in more remote places that had previously not been searched. As it stands right now, Erin Marie Gilbert is still listed as missing. There is one cold case detective assigned to her case. Lieutenant Randy McPherson told Dateline more than 20 years after Erin's disappearance that they haven't received any leads in many years. He said, "We just try to keep Erin's story in the public eye as much as possible. It's not over until we find her." Erin is almost exactly my age. She would be 51, just like I am now. I think about all the things that I've experienced over the last 25 years since I was Erin's age when she went missing, and it breaks my heart. I've raised children. I've traveled. I've opened businesses. I've performed all over the country as a singer. I've spent time with my sisters and my parents. I've had a life, and I have a life, and I feel really, really sad that all of that was stolen from Erin. On the Facebook page that Erin's family has created for her called Finding Erin Marie Gilbert, someone posted photos of Frida Kahlo and wrote that when Erin lived in San Francisco, sometimes people would stop her in the streets to say that she looked like Frida Kahlo, and I love that. She absolutely does resemble the famous artist. Erin has a bigger smile, but there is definitely a resemblance. This case really touched me because when I look at all of these photos of Erin, they could be in my family scrapbook. Her hairstyle, the clothes that she's wearing, she looks a lot like I did back then. The pictures with her sisters, the pictures of her with the kids, it's just all really, really familiar to me and really sad. I think these familiarities are what draw us to these cases. If we make a couple of different decisions, one different decision, we could all be Erin. We could all be one of the victims or the disappeared in these stories we are so interested in. Why does it happen to some people and not others? These are the questions we ask ourselves, and these are the things that keep us up at night. Erin disappeared from a fair, and because this is Dining with Death, we always mention the place that the person vanished from and the food in that location. The Girdwood Festival is still taking place. This year will be the 47th annual Girdwood Forest Fair. Their slogan is no dogs, no politics, no religion. It's all about relaxing and having fun in the very short summer months of Alaska. There are food vendors selling things like hot dogs and ice cream, jerky, chili, and lots of crafts. It's very much a hippie festival, a gathering of free spirits. They've got little carnival rides for the kids, and of course, they have the beer garden with lots of craft beers. It looks like an absolutely fabulous little event and one that I would very much enjoy attending. There is a really good podcast about Erin's disappearance called Alaska Unsolved. All of season one is dedicated to Erin's disappearance. I listened to quite a bit of it preparing for this episode, and I would recommend it if you're interested and if you like a good podcast. It's really well done, and the family is involved, and you get a great feel for who Erin was, is, and just how devastating this event has been to the people who love her. I tried to find information on David Combs, on where he is, on whether or not anything ever happened to him, whether he was interviewed or questioned. I found nothing. Apparently, not even Dateline could find any information on him. If you have any information at all about this disappearance, if you know anything that might help, please reach out. There is a $30,000 reward offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for Erin's disappearance. You can email Ms. Waz at MSN.com, that's M-S-J-U-A-Z at MSN.com, or you can call 425-293-8815. Again, the Facebook page run by Erin's family is called Finding Erin Marie Gilbert, and you can always send a message there as well. My heart goes out to Erin's family. I can't even imagine what they've been through. This is a nightmare. It's just a nightmare. I truly hope that someone does the right thing and comes forward. Give this family the peace and the opportunity for some closure that they deserve. It's the right thing to do. Thank you for joining me today on Dining with Death, Dining with the Disappeared. Like the video if you like the video, and subscribe to my channel if you want to see more from me. It does help. If you would like to support me further, you can join my Patreon. That is very helpful and very much appreciated as well. Stay safe and be kind to each other, and I'll see you next time on Dining with Death. Bye.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's most experienced active investment managers. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.